This is Jaguars Reporters.
Jaguars Reporters Reporters.
Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Why would I listen to anybody else?
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in, Jaguars Reporters, as we get ready for the Jaguars and the Colts on Thursday night. Short week, quick turnaround. Busy week here in Jacksonville. Sports schedule is jam-packed. You've got the basketball game on Friday night at the USS Batana. Then we've got some college games over the weekend. And, of course, Thursday night primetime action for the Jaguars and the Colts. And it all falls on Election Day week. So a lot going on. You've got, if I may share for a moment, as you're getting a lot of coverage, John, you've worked in a newspaper setting before.
Yes, I have.
And I've been around radio and TV newsrooms. Joe's been around them. I saw a great tweet today from a sports reporter who said, and now the day of the one day every 4 years where newsrooms have to operate like sports departments do every Friday night.
Yeah. it's the great truth, and it's the great give and take with newsrooms and sports departments that it couldn't be more true.
Somebody I think said the follow up was but we usually don't get free pizza with it, which
right.
That's usually a tradition in newsrooms. Bring in the pizzas. Oh, yeah. We're going to be working all night counting these election results. And
yeah, I had to buy a lot of pizza on Friday nights.
Yeah. A lot of high school games.
I had to make a lot of runs to the loop for the guys on the desk.
Yeah.
But it's an incredibly exciting time, all kidding aside, to be in a newsroom, obviously,
yeah,
on election night, because it's unlike any other, except for every Friday night.
And if I can take just a moment, the other thing that struck me today, I didn't do the early voting. Did you do early voting? Or
I was going to do early voting, and I took the time to do early voting. And then I forgot to do early voting, so I still had to go to the poll today.
All right. So Joe did some early voting.
I went Friday.
My wife did some early voting. I like to vote on Election Day. I like it. And got in, got out in pretty good shape. I got kind of lucky based on having my last name in the right column when people were, there were open spots. But it as I was walking out of the polling place today, it amazed me. It just struck me how remarkable it is that we're doing this, and how many countries are there? How many millions of people are there around the world that don't get the chance,
sure,
to have their voice heard with their government? So it's,
yeah, no question.
It's a cool thing.
I voted for Tim Tebow for president. By the way,
did
yeah,
you?
I mean, I think he's the man for the job.
Are you going to trade the president? Is that going to happen?
That'd be the Green Party.
I think it'd be the Orange and Blue Party, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah, the green for the Jets, I guess. I don't know if he's going to be heading up that. That
change
convention.
Affiliations soon.
Yeah, right. All right, let's get things started here on Jaguars Reporters. Here we go with three burning questions.
And now, three burning questions.
Go ahead, Joe.
We'll just fire it right up. By the way, Coach came in earlier sporting a USS Bataan cap. Pretty snazzy.
Yeah, some guys out there at practice today, I guess, huh?
Yes. Neat practice, by the way. I'll preface, before we get to burning questions, about 400 or 500 crewmen from the USS Bataan were there, and it made for a neat atmosphere. Jackson DeVille was out there, and when the players were warming up, they started clapping. The crewmen started clapping with them. We left there about a half an hour, the media did, but it was a neat environment. I think everybody enjoyed it.
All right, now let's get to it.
All right, question number one. Is there an effort issue, or as Mike Mularkey called it, an intensity issue with this team?
Well, again, I'm not sure it's – some people, sort of poked fun that Mike separated intensity from effort and said it's the same thing. I don't know that it's exactly the same thing. I certainly thought at times in Detroit, as Mike said – at times against Detroit – I thought they lacked focus and togetherness, and I by focus I mean just sort of being scattered at times, once things got away from him. And that can happen when you're losing. I just don't believe that this team's not trying. I think that's a tough thing to put on a bunch of guys who work hard and who take pride in what they do. So I don't think it's effort, but clearly there was a spark missing the other day.
We have seen some games. I don't know that you've seen multiple games, but I have seen games in the past, not this year, where there would be times where there was an effort issue. Yeah, boy, you know what?
This year in the fourth quarter a couple of times at home, it's gone awry. And when it goes awry, I think rather than effort, I think it's guys trying to do too much. And you get out of position, and then you get frustrated, and then things just kind of go off the tracks. And certainly you can make the argument that the fourth quarter has been, at home, a season of being off the tracks. But I just I don't know. I may be naive, but I just have a tough time trying to judge somebody's effort who's been doing this all their lives. And I don't get a vibe that this team doesn't want to win. I think they right now don't know how, and that's a problem.
I think maybe just the opposite. They're doing, you know, in some cases they're doing the old line of doing too much. And I'll give you an example: Paul Posluszny, who is about as precise and do your job and do it well kind
sure.
of guys the Jaguars have on the team,
yourself.
Well, I'm talking on the field.
Okay,
of
I got
course.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of folks confuse Paz and I. Just from a build standpoint.
Physique, mm-hmm. yeah.
But there was a play where he jumped off sides mm-hmm. that led to a long pass by Calvin Johnson. He's darting up in there in the hole from his middle linebacker spot, right at the center. Dominic Raiola kind of jerks his head up, and that, which is one of his little tricks, and that drew Posluszny off sides.
Mm-hmm.
They snap it. And then instead of continuing to rush, Posluszny goes, thinks to himself, oh, now I got to go back and cover. I talked to him today. His intention was to rush on that play.
Right.
He wasn't, you know, juking in there trying to confuse the quarterback or anything else. He was getting ready to rush. So he goes in there, and then when he realizes he's offsides, he's like, oh man, I've just screwed this. So now he's going back. He's trying to get, you know,
right.
into coverage, knowing it's a free play. And that's one of those things where in both situations, yes, he was a little bit over-anxious, trying to time it or whatever
right.
else. And then he tries to do too much. Not that it necessarily impacted, but it took him out of the
right.
opportunity to rush the quarterback for that. So
it goes without saying that the home games in the second half, I'm not sure this is the right word, but they've been a mess. I mean, when you're down,
I think that's accurate.
When you're trying to get back in it, and when you're trying to get back in it, there's a tendency to everybody try to do something at once. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of an issue of there aren't a lot of guys who have been here forever. The guys can look to and sort of get them right. And it just seems in the second halves a bit scattered, if you will. And I don't think that's a lack of effort. I think that's just everybody trying to figure out how to get this fixed.
Yeah, they're lacking a spiritual leader on the field.
That makes some sense. I don't know how to define that, but that makes some sense.
All right, by the way, early polling numbers coming in. Voters are saying that you are much more chiseled than Paul Posluszny. Well,
these are the people who decide the fate of our country.
There are some huge margin of errors in those polls, that's for sure.
Question two, why are the Jaguars struggling so much at home?
I've got absolutely no answer for this. I don't know, and it doesn't seem to be a common thread here. And so, John, when we look at it, you say... And somebody would say, well, it's because they stink. Okay, well, okay, but if that was the case, then they would, if that was the reason, they'd
right.
be doing the same thing on the road, and they're not. They've been two overtime games, one regulation win, and one game pushing Green Bay to the, you know, gave them all they wanted.
And if you think about it, Cole, I'm not quite sure how you broke down this season before it happened, but...
Into eighths.
When I looked at this team in the off season. What I envisioned was exactly what they've been on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they would
yeah.
be a team that would be competitive,
yep.
that against a team like Green Bay would have to probably play over its head to have a shot,
mm-hmm.
had to play really good games. But I thought with the other teams on the schedule, you know, Minnesota, Oakland, those teams, that this could be a competitive team that would have a chance to win if they played smart, if they played fundamentally sound.
I agree with you.
And they've been on the road what I think people sort of expected of them, a gutty – gritty win at the end. Boy, I wish they were better, but they're fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you hold serve at home, you feel like, okay. Well,
right. And
yep.
and I don't know that any of these four games at home were ones that you honestly looked at the schedule beforehand and said they should win that game. Maybe Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, maybe, yeah.
But I don't think anybody thought that's a should-win game.
Right.
But it's just been, you know, to answer the question, why.
And the Bears are better than I thought they would be.
Yeah, the Bears are real. I mean, the Bears might be the best team they've played. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure. They're sure playing like it. I don't know they're going to be that at the end, but they are really good right now. I've had people ask me if it's the black jerseys. I've had people blame the prowl. I've had people blame the bell. I've had people, and I do think there may be something to perhaps pressing a little bit at home when you really want to get this done. I always think about a baseball team that's having, trouble hitting in the playoffs. They tighten up. They're going after everything. Maybe that's something to do with it. Maybe the fact that the teams have been good, they played at home. But it's strange.
It really is.
All right, last question. What do you make of Shad Khan's comments last night on TV?
We're going to play some of those for you here in just a little bit. We'll get some more comments on it. But quick summary, the thing that really stood out to me was that Shad Khan is a very honest and forthright guy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he's going to tell you everything that he had, but he's going to be forthright with what he's telling you. You've got an owner who does that. Jaguars have a coach who does that. And you have a GM who does that. There is a and you can go a lot of places in the National Football League and find dishonesty and, guys not, misdirection and disinformation. You're not getting it with the coach, the owner, or the GM.
Right. And there are – I've said it since day one. And, people can say, well, you work for the team, you're going to say this. I have been shocked at how pitch perfect he usually is when dealing with the media. For somebody who has said several times, he really didn't know what to expect when he got into this. And I don't think you can know what to expect when you go from, being in, I don't say obscurity, but he wasn't on the cover of Sports
Anonymity.
Illustrated
yeah,
when he was, before he bought this team. And I think he was as honest as he could be. What I thought was impressive that I always look for in an owner, coach, or GM in this league, he's not going to pull the trigger on big decisions before it's the right time. And I think that's what I got out of that more than anything.
All right, more on that coming up here in just a bit. You can join Blaine Gabbert, captain of the third annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, and a one-mile fun run on November 10th at Everbank Field to support the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Register as a team for only $15 per person at McKenziesRun.org. We're back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Back on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Culpepper, John Osher here at Jaguars Central, along with Joe Fortunato. Just got the word from Patrick Kavanaugh at PCAV3 that if you want to watch the Shad Khan interview in its entirety, you can do so later on tonight on Jaguars.com. How much longer? How much longer do we have to wait for this, John? How much, Patrick?
About an hour.
About an hour from now, as the polls are closing, Patrick will be getting that ready to roll, and you can watch that on Jaguars.com. You can join the conversation, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. You can also join us on Twitter at Culpepper or at John Osher or Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations. Learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. All right, let's hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, on what you may not know from Sunday's game.
We had no return yards in the punter kick game. The one thing, when you look at us and really the Oakland Raiders, you look at punter, kicker, and we'll throw a long snapper in there too, we're at the top of the league in live legs with our punter and kicker. And that'll bode well, clearly, for the rest of the season and for the future.
There you go. It's a rough week when you have to go to they didn't have any return yards, and it was. All right, let's get some calls and comments in here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351.
All right, this right off of Facebook. By the way, as we get social, all of our social media questions, be they tweets or on Facebook, are brought to you by our good friends at CopyFax. This comes from Marcus. How would you guys rate the play of Blaine Gabbert despite the struggles?
All right, you talk about over the if he's talking about over the course of the season, I think he's taken a noticeable but not dramatic step forward. Mm-hmm. I think he's better, needs to be better than he is right now, but again, better. If the season ended today, you wouldn't be satisfied with the kind of progress he's made in his second year, but the season doesn't end today.
Right. I mean, he took – I don't think you could watch the two games before this and think that he didn't take a step forward. And I don't think you could watch the first half the other day and think that he didn't take a step back.
Right. Yep.
So that has people frustrated and angry this week. And again, you know, if that slip continues, then it's bad. If it's a blip, then, you know, it we have 8 games to go with Blaine this season. And I think at the end of those 8 games, we'll have a much clearer picture.
Yeah, and
I wish there was a better answer than that.
But yeah, I mean, it is. Let's see. I mean, until you get the feeling, you know, there were people, by the way, just as a note, this time last year, who were absolutely convinced that Cam Newton was a superstar in the making.
Right.
Now, there's some legitimate questions about that. So
yeah,
you don't always have the you might think you have the answer. You don't always have right. That answer.
One thing on Blaine too, I don't know if I'll have time to get this later. And I was talking to somebody in the locker room today. That's important to remember about this passing offense. And this is not to say that he would be a Pro Bowler if this was different, but Blaine right now does not have a Reggie Wayne in this offense. And by that I mean an 11 or 12-year-old guy. I mean, 12-year veteran guy.
That'd be a young rookie.
He has some 11 or 12-year-old guys in terms of experience. But and that matters. Having somebody in the passing game that you know where they're going to be. Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon have started to combine, what, maybe 10 games?
Yeah.
Now, people wear on that. People hate hearing that because it's a quote-unquote excuse. But this is the youngest trio like that in the league almost by like 20, 25 games. And it does make a difference. It should still be better, but it does make a difference.
Yeah, and to have that veteran in there. And I think it was part of the reason why they considered Lee Evans, right, is to say, all right, here's a guy,
yeah,
if he could still play,
right,
would have been a given, you know, at least some level of
right,
comfort that you know he's going to be where he's supposed to be. Again.
And I just mentioned Reggie because he's coming in here.
Right.
But if you watch the highlights of the Colts games this year, it is remarkable how often 3rd and 7 that ball is going to Reggie Wayne because he knows he's going to be there. That helps a quarterback a great deal when you have that kind of confidence in where a guy is going to be.
All right, on Twitter, Thomas asks, why does the staff wait to run no huddle? I think it's a decent question considering we've seen some good no huddle from times out of Blaine and the offense as a whole. It does take the offense as a whole understanding no huddle in order to do it, but I think some of the up-tempo stuff, when they've been able to push the tempo a little bit, that's helped.
Yeah, and it would be something that you would expect after it worked pretty well the other day for them to start playing that a little more. And, you know, I'll use another Colts analogy. I covered the Colts for a couple of years before they started going all no huddle the way they did that, you know, that was sort of their trademark under Manning for years. It wasn't until his 5th or 6th season that they went and it was all no huddle all the time. That's a tough thing to ask a quarterback to do from the very start of a game. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of it because it's working.
All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Eric at the beach, who's up here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Eric, how you doing?
Hey, Cole, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
You know, I really don't like excuses, and I'm not going to give any. You know, I've been around football my whole life. I played Pop Warner. I played in high school. I played 2 years for the University of Florida before a drunk driver ended my playing career. And, you know, the difference between college and the NFL, when you have guys in college like Cecil Shorts and Mike Thomas and guys like that are dropping the ball and not getting paid, yeah, the coach gets frustrated, but you've got to give them a little bit of slack. But when you have guys that are getting paid $8, $9, $10 million a year, you cannot afford for these guys to have butterfingers. I mean, you know, Blaine Gabbert is doing the best that he can with what he's got, but when you're not standing in, you know, when you're not running the hot route, you know, when there's miscommunications on cross routes and hot routes and receivers are supposed to be going one way and they're going another, you know, you can't put that on Blaine. I mean, you know, when he's in the huddle, he's calling the play. He's expecting these guys to run the play the way he calls them. When these guys are, you know, not communicating together or they're distracted for whatever reason, you can't have that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
There have been 29 drop passes by my count this year. Now, you're going to have drop passes somewhere along the way. And that's a whole lot of passes in over the course of 8 games. That's over 4 per game on average, and there have been far more than 4 in some of those. But you know, one of the things to consider too here is that it's not just that there are drop passes. Sometimes it's when those drop passes take place. If it's on a potential third down conversion, well, that's it. You know, now you got to punt it away. You don't get any when you only run 12
even
plays.
If it's not, you know, a drop pass has such again, go back when I covered the Colts, Bill Polian always used to say the most important thing for them, for the wide receiver, was the ability to catch. And that sounds very, well, of course it would be.
Yeah, right.
But his point was even more important than speed, even more important than whatever else, was they had to catch the ball, because the theory was if you drop a 7-yard pass on 1st and 10, then all of a sudden, instead of 2nd and 3, you're 2nd and 10. And all of a sudden you're in a passing situation, and it snowballs. It goes. It takes you out of good situations. It prevents you from being able to run the next drive. It prevents so much that even if it's not a third down, even if it's not a 25-yard catch, down and distance is so important that if you cost yourself 2 yards and it's 3rd and 5 instead of 3rd and 3, that's a huge difference in your ability to convert and keep a drive alive. So you have to catch the ball.
Eric, I appreciate the call.
It's a good point, Eric.
Yeah, it definitely is a good point there. And the other side of this, too, not just about the catching of the ball, it's how many guys do they have who are in there and making plays once they catch it. I mean,
yeah.
And we haven't seen a lot of that after-the-catch kind of activity here in a while. So that's sort of a two-front thing. Now, that being said, there are some times where Blaine has not been accurate with the ball.
No question. And to talk about the receivers is not take the blame off Blaine. He has not been perfect, and I think when you get a lot of different situations, it kind of goes back to last year, the receivers haven't been quite as good as they should be. Blaine hasn't been quite as good as you would hope. The offensive line has stretches where they have trouble passing. So all of that snowballs, and if all of it was a little better, I think that's what Mike keeps talking about with the making layups, making plays. Mm-hmm. It's not as much as you think. But when it's a bunch of little things, it plays out like one big thing.
All right, let's get an injury update here brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. Jaguars today who did not participate in practice. Greg Jones, Maurice Drew, who will not play, by the way, on Thursday. Dwight Lowry won't play on Thursday. Rasheen Mathis, probably is what we expect to see.
If you're not practicing during a short week, it's tough to play. Yep.
Montel Owens was limited. Derek Cox was limited. And Brad Meester had his day off today. So,
how about one of those?
Yeah. Well, I'll get you one coming up. Yeah, Saturday maybe. You can be clear. You could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. All right, back with more Jaguars reporters. We'll hear from the owner, Shad Khan, when we come back right here on Jaguars Radio. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Welcome back, Jaguars reporters, presented by Burger King. Hey, if you're getting ready to come to the game on Thursday night, the one and only primetime appearance for the Jaguars, Sonny's, has a great couple of game day deals for you. Game day wings, 40 wings with their new dry rub or sweet or mild sauce for $19.99. And the Sonny's tailgate package, a feast for 4 to 6 with choice of barbecue pork, beef, chicken, or ribs, 3 sidekicks, garlic bread or cornbread, and 4 soft drinks or fresh brewed iced tea for just $39.99. Takeout only, Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll patch a hole in the ozone in just a bit, but usually at this time we hear from what Mike Mularkey said on his radio show last night. Instead, we thought we'd go big time. And as Jeff Loggan pointed out, we'll be stealing from his TV show. From Jaguars All Access yesterday.
He gets one story in like 3 years,
yeah,
and we're stealing.
We're stealing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Loggan has a great grasp of the way the media world works.
Yes,
we'll be stealing from
that. Jeff said it. No, go ahead.
And here, among a number of very interesting comments from Jaguars owner Shad Khan.
Think about a sustainable organization, okay? Any organization, whether it's a football team or auto parts factory, you need three things. You need the right people in the right spot. You need processes or decision-making that's right. And then you need support, whether it's fans, sponsors, or owners. So the time for us is we've got to finish the season. I mean, you can't be, you know, rushing to judgment. I wish life was that simple, that you can, you know, hire and fire people and things would go, would change it. They don't. So we have to finish the season, and then we have to evaluate where we are. And I think I can tell the fans, I mean, I'm committed to building a sustainable winning organization.
You know, if I was going to predict what people would hear in that, I think there are some fans who would hear, yeah, he's just waiting until the end of the year, then he's going to blow things up. And then there are others who will hear, you know what? I don't think he's made up his mind yet, and I think he's going to wait till the end of the year to see. And it may be more about improving the process than anything. It's obvious. I mean, he made the statement that 1-7 is embarrassing. Nobody is alibying for that. But this is the first time we've been in a situation where we're watching Shad Khan make a decision. Going out, we've seen him be around coming in terms of, you know, hiring the head coach and so forth. Something he turned over to Gene Smith, but. We haven't seen him in this position where he's had to make that call.
Well, what's important to remember about Shad Khan, and I've only been around him same amount as everybody else in Jacksonville has, and I wouldn't want to speak for him, but he's a couple of things. He's an incredibly dynamic guy, and that's what fans see and love. But at his heart, remember what he is. He is an engineer. And from listening to him over, 8 or 9, 10 months now, he believes in knowing and understanding the process.
Yep.
And he talked about it during the draft. If you recall, that he was fascinated by the draft process, and he came in for the draft and wanted to see how that information flow, decision making worked. So I think when you hear him talk about football, which he just did, he's always going to talk about the process and making sure the elements are in place. And I like that, as opposed to some owners you see who kind of go by the gut, go by this. I think he's right. I don't think you make quick trigger in sports. If you make quick trigger decisions, you're going to be making a lot of changes right on top of each other, and spinning your wheels a lot. I know fans want action now, but I don't think that's going to be his approach. And I think because he's about the process, he's eventually going to find the right process.
And you know what's interesting? You talk about his tenure as owner to this point. You talk about senior-level management position. He's only added senior-level people in here to the Jaguars.
Right.
The only departure was Paul Vance, who was, you know, had a long history with Wayne Weaver beforehand, going back. And so,
he is not given to reactionary moves.
That's right.
And that angers fans, because when you're 1-7, you want to send a message. I mean, that's what I keep hearing. They need to send a message. Well, I don't think Shad's about that. He wants to find a process that will work. And it strikes me, and I've not had this conversation with him, but it strikes me that over the course of his life, when he has been around successful things, it has been about being around a process that works. And I don't think he thinks that you can see that in 5 months, in 6 months. And say, you know, I think he wants to see the process play out. And eventually, he's going to find a process that works.
There is an interesting thought too, in terms of figuring out. He was talking about a sustainable winner, and that. So, if that's his goal, okay, then what fans I think need to understand in some regard is that the goal is not selling tickets for the next game,
right?
And in some regards, it's not even selling tickets for next season. It's winning, so it sustains itself, so you don't have to.
Right,
you don't have to scrape and claw to sell those last 1,000.
Now that
or 2,
said, he's not a guy who's going to be satisfied with the status quo just for the sake of being satisfied with the status quo.
Yep.
There have been owners who have done that too, but again, the owners that I've always seen succeed in sports are the ones that sort of get the process. They're not going to automatically do something just to appease the fans. Mm-hmm. While they're going to listen, their decision-making process is going to be based on long-term things that work. And I like what I heard.
All right, let's get a call in here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Gail in Arlington, who's up here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I like his comments, but we've been sitting in the stands as season ticket holders for 8-9 years with the same thing. We've got football players that are playing every game poorly. If we did our own jobs as poorly as these guys do, Mr. Khan would have fired us long ago. And you can't say that because he's a businessman. You got to make some money. And every week it's the same thing. Well, they're a young team. We're this, that. Tie their pay to their winning to a point, and get some wins out there.
Well, you're not going to have contracts that are fully incentivized based on winning. I mean, sometimes you might have a bonus, you know, something that an escalator or something based on team win, but rarely does that happen in this day and age in the National Football League.
And I get the frustration, Gail. I mean, it makes sense, and I feel it. Well, we're talking about a couple of different things. The fans obviously have every right to be frustrated because you've seen too much losing for too long. Now, we were speaking in this instance of what Shad's experience is, and what Shad is trying to do is, from January until right now, trying to take this in, trying to figure out the right thing, and trying to make sure that he makes the right decisions at the right time. So in a sense, they're coming from two different perspectives. And that doesn't make it any less frustrating for the fans or the people around the team.
All right. Again, that's sort of what it is. I also, just one thing, again, I echo your sentiments. I get the frustration. But when you say, you know, these guys aren't doing, if we did our jobs that poorly, good thing is I don't have other radio broadcasters trying to come in here and do broadcasts as I'm doing mine, which, you know, like,
right.
and trying to stop me from doing the broadcast.
Although many people would.
And probably have tried, and just thankfully we have good security here at the stadium. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. You can tweet at Cole Pepper or at John Osher. Online at facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars or on the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll see who the Scouts Eye unsung player was from the game on Sunday, as well as talk about who the Jaguars we're going to have to stop on Thursday night as they take on the Colts. More to come on Jaguars Reporters right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, the Jaguars Rewards Program, now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Let's hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, the Scouts Eye unsung player of the game from Sunday.
Uche Nwori. Uche got the key matchup, I thought, this week in blocking Sue most of the day. And Sue ended up with no production. And I was very proud of him, the way he competed in the run game and also in pass protection. You got to admire him. He's had a couple of different injuries. He's been in and out of a couple games. He's played through them. And I take my hat off to him because he has really been one of our bright spots on offense. And it's not mentioned much because he's an interior offensive lineman. And he's playing beside a young player on his right and then a good veteran on his left. And he's fit in very well with those two players.
All right, there's Gene Smith on Uche Nwori, who
is that? What's the meaning behind that sound, Jeff?
That's the Scout's Eye. It's the eagle-eyed Scout Eye.
Eagle Eye. Okay, yeah, you know, I got you.
Scout's Eye.
I'm a little slow in the update.
Yeah.
All right. I like it now.
All right. let's plug a hole in the ozone here. Rick in Tampa wrote in, the owner of the Titans isn't happy and threatens. The Chiefs make a change. The Jags? Question mark?
Well, and again, when I chose this question, I read...
You hadn't read it, didn't it?
Well, I didn't know that we were going to, discuss Shad's comments quite as much. People want heads to roll. They want action. I get 15 emails a day about we want the owner to send a message. And it's just not the way that Shad's going to operate. And over the long run, what we just talked off the air, he's more about process than he is emotion. Mm-hmm. When he's had success in his life, it's been about having the correct process. So I don't think he's going to be a quick trigger, come out after a game and start pounding his fist and punch a reporter guy. He's going to be a guy who gets this done with the mind of an engineer, and that's what he's going to be.
And by the way, improving the process doesn't mean you don't change personnel.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you do. I mean, if you see that as the right thing to do, then that's what you'll do.
Yeah.
800-355-NFL1. Jason's on the north side. Jason, you're up here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King.
Hey guys, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. I had a question with the losing season and all. How do you guys feel about them just managing the game with Blaine Gabbert? Why aren't they opening up the playbook for this guy and letting him throw downfield more often? I feel like they're very strict on him, because I'm seeing him hitting a lot of guys in the hands and they're dropping the ball.
Yeah, some of it, I think, has been play calling at times. Some of it has been that Blaine has gone to a check down sooner, and that's what Mike Mularkey talked about a couple weeks ago, is wanting him to slow down his clock a little bit so it doesn't, he doesn't feel compelled to throw the dump down so early. And one of that's in the offense he ran in college, spread passing offense, he was get the ball out in a hurry, and so you kind of have to slow that down a little bit. And then he's got to trust that the line's going to block and the guy's going to catch it.
You also have to game plan based on the defense you're playing. And I think over the course of the last 8 games, you will see them, quote-unquote, open it up and go downfield more and more. I don't think you can go into every game saying we are going to throw 25-yard outs. It's still got to depend on what's there for the defense. But certainly they have shown signs the last few weeks that they are better when they're opening up a little bit and going downfield. It's hard to look at any one game in a vacuum, if you will, but I think over the course of time, the graph will show a lot more throwing downfield. It has to at this point.
And it could start on Thursday night against the Colts. It is an 8:20 kick, and that means we'll take to the air with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 5:20. Colts are 5-3 right now, tied for the third best record in the AFC. If the playoffs started today, the Colts would be a wild card team. Andrew Luck's coming off a rookie record 433-yard game against the Dolphins, and Luck has 4 300-yard passing games this season already.
And I still think the Jaguars win the game. I rarely predict, but I think a lot of credit to the Colts. They're winning with emotion. They're winning a lot of close games. People are thinking the Colts are going to come in and roll this team. I think the Jaguars are going to play well, and I don't think it's this blowout thing that the negative, that the fans are sort of thinking. I think the Jaguars play well, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win.
All right, and by the way, the folks who will come out here who paid money for those tickets, who have been loyal and shown up and who have been all in, deserve a home win.
Oh, do they ever.
Fans in a big way. All right, that'll do it for us here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Tomorrow night, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30. John Osher, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato will be there as well. And then again, our coverage on Thursday begins at 5:20 with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, with kickoff at 8:20 here at Everbank Field. For John Osher, for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. And good night from Jaguar Central.